Hi there. For quite a while now, I've thought about doing some kind of little audio tour of our house here in Dorset before I go off to San Francisco. Every time I come outside, there's so many lovely noises I associate with our farm. We have the chickens, an awful lot of birds, the sheep, and various country noises. So I thought I'd have a quick walk around the farm and record some of the noises and see if it in any way allowed you to get a glimpse of what it sounds like to be on the farm. I've posted quite a few photos in the past, but I thought it might be quite nice for people to hear what it's like to be on the farm. So we'll just wander over and see the chickens here. We've got quite a few chickens on the farm. I don't really know how many. How many can I see here now? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20. God, I suppose we've got about 60 chickens. You can maybe hear them making a noise over there. Let's see if I can get the microphone a bit closer. They're not really making a big noise at the moment. I'll maybe go and get some food for them and throw it to them and see whether that helps. There's one ginormous chicken here. I guess she's a Rhode Island Red. In fact, I think I have a photograph of her on my Flickr collection and probably on my website somewhere. So I'll try and post a link to her. You can see exactly how big she is there. Very big. I don't know who'd win if she took on our dog. So let's wander across the yard into the feed shed. Now the feed shed's quite exciting at the moment, if you like birds, because every year we get swallows nest in all of our buildings. Again, I think there's probably some photos on Flickr of the swallows' nests. And just in this long feed barn here, which we re-roofed a few years ago, and you can see right up into the rafters, I can see two sets of swallows' nests right up at the top. They're all, if you've never seen them before, they somehow stick them to the wood. I'm not really sure how they do it. I think they do it with mud, because the top of the nest, the top sort of rim, seems to be dried dirt, dried mud. And then all underneath, hanging down, is hay and grass, which is hay. So grass, basically, dried grass, which I suppose helps bind everything together. And they nest, I don't know how long they nest for, but just in the last few weeks, the babies have been learning to fly. And our garden has just been filled with the most amazing sight. You look out the window and you just see them swooping and swooping around the garden, and they fly incredibly low. They come down to like a meter off the ground. There's maybe 12 of them learning to fly there. It's quite remarkable. It's quite hard to describe, but they're incredibly acrobatic flyers, so, and very fast. I'm just going to open up the feed sort of section now and get some food for the chickens. And when I do so, hopefully I'll be able to see the babies nesting, or they all perch on one of the rafters. Oh, I can see another nest as well, so that's three in here. There they are. So we have part of this food shed is a walled off section where we keep the actual food bins, and inside here is a wooden sort of rod that runs the length of here, which we feed cable down, electrical cable, and they're perched on top of this thin rod, and there's three of them there. They're not very big, but they're independent. They can fly. I don't know if they're still being fed by their mum and dad, but they're fat little birds just perched. I guess they're only about 8 feet away from me now. They're about 8 feet up in the air. And there's three of them. So I'm going to quietly go in and try and get some food for the chickens without disturbing them. They're looking around, they're a little nervously now. So their mum and dad come back. Apparently they sort of dive bomb you a little bit. I don't know if you can hear them tweeting away. They've just flown over me, and where are they now? I think they've flown out of the shed. Yeah, well, they flew about a foot above my head, so that was quite interesting. So let's open up the food bin here. This is a really big bin we have filled with, what is this, sort of corn and I don't know, it's some sort of maizey stuff. Let's get a scoop full of this. There's these old metal scoops. Let's go and throw this to the chickens and see if we can get some chicken noises going. Let's walk back across the yard. All right, girls. Here they come. Lots of chickens. So these chickens, I'm not really sure what kind these are. I think they might be of French origin. We've got some silkies in here, which there are, I think again I have photos on Flickr. They're white, sort of fluffy chickens. They have something odd about their feathers, that the little hooks that keep feathers all neatly together, they don't have. So they're just fluffy, they're very strange. And they have sort of black skin and blue little cheek pouch things. They also have some white chickens who are quite elegant looking, all white with little red faces. And then we have these light brown chickens that are again quite elegant, and they seem to have sort of white tail feathers, and they blend up towards light brown heads. Let's see if we can get anyone to cock-a-doodle-do. Excuse my poor chicken impression, but it often gets them going. Hang on. There we are. Let's see if we can get another one. They're not going to, we had a few little proper noises there, but no one's cock-a-doodle doing properly yet. So let's leave them and wander over and have a look at some other chickens, or have a listen to some other chickens. Incidentally, the chicken house is always full of tiny little birds. Wild birds, they're always nipping in and out trying to eat the corn that you give them. So the top of the chicken house is always, as you walk up, they all fly out and they all perch along the top of the chicken house. So I can see five of them now, these tiny little birds. But they don't really make any noise, so they're not much use for this. So now we're over to the third of the chicken sheds. The ones I was looking at just a minute ago are in the same, sort of stuck together. And this one has some little chicks. I wonder if you can hear them. Let's try and get a little closer and we can hear them chip, chip, chip. Their mum. making a little bit more noise. Let's throw them a bit of food and see. So she's got four little chicks. Oh, she just trod on one. And so these guys live in a little chicken house that is about 6 foot by 6 foot. The little run is about 6 foot by 6 foot and about 4 foot high. And then they have a little house attached to that where they go and sleep at night. And we let them out into that run every day, and then most days we open the door of that run and they can run around the yard and go out into the field and everything. And in fact, it's open today, but I suppose because she has chicks, she's staying inside with them, inside the run. The fourth run we have here is the same size and has filled with cockerels, my mum just told me. How many are in here? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11. There seems quite a lot of birds for a small space. They're certainly not crammed in, but they don't have... they're not in the lap of luxury. And they're a mixture of... they're a mixture of white birds with red heads and very nice looking, again, I guess they're French birds with white tail feathers and sort of mottled brown and white moving up to a brown head, all with the red cockerel combs on top and their little dangling sort of bits under their chin. Their feathers now. Let's see if we can get any of these to cock-a-doodle-doo. I don't know if we'll be able to. Anyway, I'm now surrounded by all the chickens that are running free. They've all come to see me because I'm crouched down and I've got some food. Let's give a bit to these guys here. In fact, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put the microphone down and then I'm going to put some food around it and I'll see if they'll come over and eat. Maybe you can get some close-up noise. Hang on. Chicks around you now, and four silkies, the white fluffy chickens, and a bunch of little brown ones. Here comes another silky, and a few more chicks who are quite loud. Six chicks around here. And that's probably enough of that. I'll just come in and get the microphone again. Okay. So that's the chickens. And there's some more chickens over here, I see. We've got one bit of the farm we sort of let grow a little wild. It's on the inside of a curve as the drive comes round into the farmyard, and the chickens love to go pecking around in here. We did keep it quite short at one point, but we seem to be letting it grow a little wild now, and it's really nice to see the chickens in amongst there. They kind of look like they're in the wild, and there's four chicks and the mum there pecking about. She's craning up on her toes to see what's happening, see if there's any danger. So I'll go back and put the chicken feed back, and I'll go get some sheep nuts, which isn't as bad as it sounds. It's just the food that the sheep like. Oh, well, the little chicks haven't come back into the food place. The little swallow chicks haven't come back. We just get some. Right, I got some sheep nuts here, some sheep food. So let's go out into the field and see if we can entice some of the sheep to come over, which won't be at all hard because they're greedy little buggers. And grass, I suppose, isn't terribly appetizing, so at any opportunity to get some other kind of food, they all leap at the chance. I'm walking over the yard now onto the grass and then over to the field, which our house has a field out the back of it that we own, and that leads onto another one. So just step over the fence and give the old... No, they all ran off. Oh well, I'm sure I'd get some over in a minute. Yeah, here we go, now we can hear them. So once you shake the bucket, they all come running. There's a whole field of them. It's a bit of a shame I can't only call a few over, but as it happens, like 100 sheep come running. The sheep have the craziest eyes if you've ever seen their eyes. They have slits for pupils instead of just... Oh well, I'll let the noise go on for a little bit. They all crowd in and try and get a taste from the bucket. Let me just put some on the grass here so that they can... If you try and feed 100 sheep out of one bucket, it gets a little hectic. Just put it in a row. There's one over there with a lamb. There are quite a few lambs in here, actually. I guess at least half the sheep are here are lambs. One of them's suckling. And there's a tiny little lamb in here somewhere, which I guess must have been born pretty late. They make a funny noise when they eat. I wonder if we can hear it. I've got the microphone right down by their faces on the grass. Yeah. It's weird growing up around sheep. It's going to be very strange to... When my parents sell the farm, these aren't our sheep anymore, they're our friends who just uses our land. But it's going to be weird sort of not having sheep in my life anymore. I didn't really do a lot with them when I was a kid. As a kid, I guess you tend to try to get out of doing any kind of work. But I'm really pleased we grew up with... On a farm with all the animals around and everything. It's going to be quite strange, I think, moving to San Francisco and... I don't know, just not really being... not really having animals around quite so much. The only animals that will be around will be those tiny little dogs in t-shirts that people carry around in handbags. It's not quite the same thing. So, yeah. Sheep are a bit odd, but they're very, I don't know, they're quite a comfort to me to see them and have them bash you to try to get some food, and I don't know, it brings back all the memories of being a kid growing up and having to come out and do this at the weekends. Yeah. And there's always one who stands right next to you, breathing heavily, looking for more. That's this one here, right? See if we can make you go back. Meh. So there we are. So we shall leave the sheep. Thank you, girls. It's getting a little windy now. I don't know if that's picking up on the microphone. Yeah, bye-bye. So now all the chickens are out in their little wild area, which is pretty cool to see. I love seeing the chicks in the long grass burrow their way along and see their big fluffy mums standing over them. Don't really see wild. I don't know. Do you get wild chickens? You must get wild chickens. I wonder where you get them. Actually, I've never thought of that. Where the hell do chickens come from? I know where they come from, but where do they... Where did we domesticate them from? Why are they different to other birds? It's, I don't know. I've never really thought where chickens come from. If anyone knows, leave a comment and let me know. So, walking back up the drive towards our yard again, we're going to have a wander around the garden in a minute. My parents blocked in a bit of the the area I'm in now used to be the muck heap, and we tore the back off the muck heap and got rid of the muck and opened it up and put some big flower beds in, and they're absolutely gorgeous. They're amazing, made with railway sleepers for the edges of the beds, so they're raised beds, and this is the first year I've seen them full bloom, and there's some bizarre flowers in here. I'll have to try and get some photographs. There's a bumblebee buzzing about. My dad used to keep bees. I don't know if he keeps them anymore. I always wonder when I see... Ah, there was a cock-a-doodle-doo. But anyway, I'll go and drop this food bucket back in the feed barn bit and shut it up. And we'll go wander into the garden and see, we'll hear what the garden has to offer. Yeah, go on, mate. Can we get another one? He won't be fooled into cock-a-doodle-dooing. Oh, the sun's coming out again. Got a good... Very nice. So my mum has this, I guess it's an old feed trough thing, full of this incredible bush of yellow flowers, and it always attracts loads of bumblebees. I'll just see if we can hear a bumblebee. And now here's a little honeybee. They're much smaller than the bigger regular bees you see buzzing around. Let's see if we can hear this one hum. It's crawling all over the flower. I guess it's not going to make any noise until its wings start to go when it takes off, but pretty cool to watch them. There we are. Hopefully you heard that. There's some big fat ones here as well. What the hell is this bee doing? Is it alive? One of the bees appears to have died stuck to a flower. It's sort of hugging this flower. I'm not really sure what the hell it's doing. I have to ask my mum when she gets back. She knows about these things. So anyway, that bush is gorgeous. Just, I always love seeing that in the yard. We'll come through into the garden. So we have a gravel yard, which is what this noise is all the time. So what have we got in the garden that we can listen to? Probably not an awful lot at the moment. We've got a wood next to us that's full of rooks, which are a pain in the arse. Oh, hello, cat. You alright? Yeah, we've got an old stray cat that we look after. So we've got a wood here that's full of rooks, which make a hell of a lot of noise when they're nesting. You look up into the trees and every tree has at least one, what looks like a very messy nest up there, but pretty big nests, a couple of foot across and a couple of feet across, and just made out of sticks, as you would expect, I suppose. I've never seen inside a rook's nest because they're always really high up, but from the ground they look quite messy. And how many can I see from here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I can see 11 nests from here. And rooks are the big black birds. People often think are blackbirds, but they're not. They're not crows either, they're rooks. I'm not entirely sure what the difference is between the three of those things, but there is one. And every time we come out into the garden when they're nesting, they all take off with wah, wah, big squawks and big wing flaps and so on. So they're a bit of a pain in the backside, but I guess it's nice to have nature right next to you. So I'm wandering into our wood now. This is a little wood that we rent off the council. They won't let us buy it, but it runs directly onto our garden, so it's nice that we control it, so to speak. And we have a little path. One of the cars going past. We have a little path running through it from our garden past an area where we have bonfires, and through the wood and out to the field where Dad keeps his bees, or kept his bees. As I say, I don't know if he still does that. And the whole wood is filled with ponds, because this used to be an area that they dug for gravel for the road that they built, I guess, right next to the house. They're not huge holes by any means, but in the winter, probably 50% of the wood is water. And when we were kids, we used to be able to skate on these ponds. They're not very big ponds, but when you're, I say skate, we used to be able to run along the path and then jump onto the ice and skid along, which is always terribly exciting. But it doesn't seem to happen anymore. I don't know if we just don't get cold enough winters or what, but I guess I'm also not particularly running out into the wood and jumping on ice a lot anymore, but I do seem to remember that that faded away a wee bit, which is a shame. The wood's not terribly exciting. It's very, very wet and green, and an amazing amount of different plants growing in here, and every now and then you see a splash of colour with some little lords and ladies, I think they're called, which are these little plants that spring up on a fairly thick, juicy stem, and at the top are a collection of, I guess they're berries. They look kind of like berries. Are they, if you imagine Marge Simpson's hair but made out of berries, they look like that, but not purple or whatever colour her hair is. These are red and sometimes yellow, I think. But I think they're poisonous. We were always told not to eat them when we were kids, so I guess they're poisonous. So to see those are quite nice. You see a splash of colour in the wood amongst what is just shades of green. It's quite a dense wood. It's pretty exciting. I used to play in here a lot when I was a kid, always climbing trees and being an army man. And yes, I used to. I used to like being here. So let's have a quick wander out through the wood. And we'll see if Dad has any bees. I'd be interested to see whether he still keeps the bees over here. To get up from the floor of the wood up to the level of the field, which is a couple of feet up, you have to go up a few steps, which I think my brother and I dug in and made when we were kids. Yeah, so I can see now where the bees should be, and they're not there, so I suppose they did go. In fact, I think what happened was they got a virus or something, and they all died. I think that's what happened. I seem to recall Dad going and opening the hive up after one winter and finding everything was dead. So I think they all died of a virus. I think the only way they can die is either of a virus or if a wasp gets in and kills them all. But I think it was a virus. So no bees to look at. There is a tree here though. The first dog I really remember, we had a dog called Jenny, who was a Springer Spaniel, brown and white. And I grew up with her, and she had puppies, quite a few sets of puppies, and the last litter was just, all she had was just one puppy. And we kept her and called her Rosie. And when Jenny died, the mum, rather than, I don't know what you normally do with dogs when they die, rather than take it to the vet and get her incinerated, I came into the field and dug her a grave and buried her here. And when Rosie eventually died, Dad came and brought her out into the field as well and buried her here, and then planted a tree on top of them. So there's a little sort of fence, wire fence with wooden supports and a wooden bar which you can lean on around this tree here, and which I guess is about 12 foot high now, and that's where our dogs are buried, which was very sad when they died. Obviously I remember having Jenny in an old feed bag. I'd put her in and I was carrying her out to the field, and Rosie ran up, and I think I was crying. And Rosie ran up to say hello. And I thought that there would be some animal connection, and she would realize that her mum was dead, and she would realize that she was in this bag, and she would whine, or she would howl, or do something. All she did was sniff it, and then run away to play with a ball or something. I remember yelling at her, and being quite frustrated that she didn't appreciate that her mum was in this bag, and that she'd died. So there we are. I guess animals aren't always quite so mystical. I'm just going to hop back over the stile into the garden. I won't go through the wood. We have a nice little copse at the end of the garden here, which Mum and Dad planted, with some weeping willows and I don't know what the hell these are, some kind of berry tree things, which is all very nice. This is a crabapple tree here, with some little crabapples on. Another willow. And what tree is this? Oh, this is a pretty big cherry tree that we have. But I think Mum used to drape it in nets. We used to have squirrels who would come and eat all the cherries before we could get them. But I think this year we got... I think we got the cherries. I think we did. And then next to it is an apple tree, which I wrote about on my blog a wee while back. I was amazed because it's... two apple trees in one. It produces two different kinds of apple, because somebody grafted one kind of apple tree onto another kind of apple tree and made that possible, which until I looked it up I didn't realize that was very common. And then what have we got? Well, we've got a beech hedge that we planted, which is amazing to think. I don't know how long ago we planted this, but I remember when it wasn't here. And now it's a beautiful, how tall is that, 8 foot high beech hedge, a couple of feet thick. Very, very nice. And Mum's, what is this? We're in the vegetable garden now. What the hell are these things? Are they courgettes? I think these are courgettes. She's got row after row of courgettes. Wow, that's a lot. And her rhubarb bell there, which I also wrote about. Where you grow rhubarb in the dark, so it's nice and sweet, and it never sees the light. And then like a 7 foot tall row of broad bean plants with their nice red flowers and their furry little bean pods. And I don't know what the hell's growing in here. Some kind of lettuce, I think, but it's a bit small. And then sweet peas. I think these have run their course for the year. But we had beautiful sweet peas for quite a while there. I would, you could just come out and pick those and eat them out the pod, which is very nice. And then Mum's fruitcake with gooseberries and I don't really know what else. I think she's just got gooseberries in there at the moment. Yeah. And then there's onions and lettuce and carrots and a whole bunch of stuff. And here are our pear trees with funny little dwarf pears on. Oh, God, I love our pears. These are nearly ready to go. Another couple of weeks, I guess. Very nice. And some more apple trees. So there we are. It's, I guess not everything makes a noise. It's quite difficult to introduce you to the farm and the gardens when not everything makes a noise. But it's worth trying, I think. So I'm now in a shed where we used to have swallows, but something got at the nest and they all died. And we found only one of them left, a little dead bird, which I scanned in. Put on Flickr, you can see that. Which is very sad, because these have been here for as long as I can remember. They come and nest every year. It's very nice to have them shoot in and out of the woodshed there. So there we are. A little audio guide to our farm and the garden and the animals. Okay? Hope you enjoyed it. Bye-bye.